We're in Genesis chapter 6 this morning. Genesis chapter 6, around verse 9. I took my dog for a walk this past Monday afternoon. As we left the house, the sun was shining bright. It was on the hot side of warm. I was dressed in as little clothing as possible because, man, it was hot. But the further we walked, the darker the sky grew. So I checked the app on my phone, and it said, thunderstorm, 80% chance, 2 o'clock. I looked at my watch. It was 10 minutes till 2. Against her will, I turned the dog back toward home. And before we got very far, the heavens just opened up on us. Now, I pride myself in being prepared. I wasn't really prepared on that day for that cloudburst. As it was raining on us, I was chastising myself. I should have brought an umbrella. I should at least wore a jacket and a hat. What was I thinking? Problem was, I trusted my eyes, and I didn't check the radar. This morning, I want to do a little spiritual forecasting for you. When you look around, it may seem as though not a lot is happening spiritually speaking. But God's been speaking a new word into my heart. And that word is ready. We're supposed to get ready. For a while, the word was better. Work on getting better. And I've been working on that. And God's been blessing in many different ways. And now he's adding to that. Get better so that you are ready for what God is about to do. The Lord says the skies are already getting dark. He's about to rain over this area. He's about to rain over this land. And we need to be ready for what God is going to do. So this October, we're again going to be hosting a week of fasting and prayer as we get ready for another 40-day adventure, the first of next year, 40 days of praying for our church and its mission. We'll be zeroing in on praying for one another, for the pastor, the board, coordinators, teachers, programs, initiatives. We'll give you some meat on those bones later on, but I want to plant this word in your heart. Get ready. The devil is trying to dumb you down. The devil is trying to lull you to sleep. If he can get the church to give up, if he can get the church to surrender, like so much of the church already has, well, then his work's over. But if we will make a stand, if we'll get ready, God is prepared to do some amazing things among his people. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. Father, we're asking for your help this morning as we look into your word. We need to get ready, but oh, you know how thick we are. You know how lethargic we have become. You know how the world has lulled us to sleep with its siren songs. Wake us up, God. Get us ready for the fight that is ahead. Oh, lead on, O King Eternal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. People had become so corrupt, so violent, that God decided to wipe the slate clean. Back in verse 7, he said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I've created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move. I'm just going to do away with it all. However, verse 8 reports, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. But then Noah. One person dug his heels in against the corruption in all the world. One guy decided he wasn't going to compromise. Even if everybody else went the way of the world, this one man said, no, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Everyone else gave in to the corruption, immorality, greed, and vice. Can you imagine what that's like? Maybe you live that. Maybe where you work, everybody else has just completely given themselves over to the ways of the world. And there you are, day after day, trying to live a righteous life, trying to put forth some kind of a witness. The people around Noah had become worse than the animals that surrounded their villages. When anybody was hurting and there was a plea for help, those pleas went unattended. They preyed on one another as if they were beasts. Evil was overcoming good at an alarming rate. God was about to call this experiment with mankind over. He was going to turn out the lights and walk away. But then Noah, he noticed this one guy, this one man on the face of the whole earth. Catch this. Noah gave God an idea. Noah sparked hope in the heart of God. We don't think this way, but this is the truth. A person can inspire God. Isn't that wild? That a person can change the heart and the mind of God. The Lord's plan changed from annihilation to recreation because he saw this one guy. God said, that's it. I'm so sick of this world. I'm so sick of people. You've probably felt that way a time or two. I just want to wipe the dish clean. And he was about to do away with it all. But then Noah, God's mood transformed from grief to hope. We read that in the scripture. His heart was grieved that he had made man. It was changed from grief to hope, from pain to possibilities. Perhaps this spark that he started with Adam was salvageable after all. I can almost hear the devil going, no, no, get him now, kill him, send the water. You got to do something about it. They're all saying, kill him, God, kill him. No, don't rethink this. But then Noah, and God thought for a moment, and he said, Noah, make an ark. Noah, make an ark. Can you see God's excitement in that? Oh, he was just grieving. He's going to wipe them all out. The Bible says he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. This was a terrible thing for God and man. But then Noah, make an ark. Ah. The sin and corruption couldn't be ignored. It had to end. But neither could Noah's righteousness be ignored. It had to be rewarded. Back in Genesis chapter 2, the Bible reports that when God created the earth, in the beginning, there it didn't rain. Water used to come up from underground to give moisture to the plants and so on. It had never rained before. Some have theorized that this is why our first ancestors lived so long, because there was a lot more water in the atmosphere filtering out those harmful rays from the sun, those rays that tend to age us. And so with a lot more water in the atmosphere, it never rained before. It took 40 days and nights of heavy rain to reduce the amount of water in the heavens and fill the oceans we have today. In verse 16, God told Noah, put a roof on your ark. Well, why? In Noah's lifetime, it never rained. Why? What do we need a roof for? Put a roof on your ark there, Noah. You're going to need it. God was forecasting something that hadn't happened in the first several thousand years of the world. Noah was being asked to prepare for what had never happened before. In fact, if you read through Scripture, you'll see that time and again with God. He doesn't like to repeat a miracle. He likes doing new things all the time. He wants a people, he wants servants who believe in the impossible, who give him room to do what has never been done before. He hates it when the people of God gather around and have a funeral service for the plans of God, for the salvation of the world, for hope. He wants a people of faith. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 20. God said to Noah, two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. Animals, reptiles, and birds would all come to Noah to be kept alive. Now, Mrs. Noah, ladies, I'm sure your men have had some ideas. They've had some projects along the way. Some of them you just said, no. Some of them you just kind of shook your head. I can only imagine what Mrs. Noah thought when Noah came and said, we're building ourselves a boat. And she said, Noah, we live in the middle of a desert. Well, God told me to build. Okay, he wants to build a boat. Noah, how big is this boat you're building? Well, I got a hold. You know, I could just see her going and praying, oh, Lord, I married a nut. This guy's insane. But when animals started showing up at the house, all of a sudden, maybe there's something to this, eh? Oh, well, even if that boat never floats, there's somewhere we gotta have somewhere to put these animals. They just keep coming. God called Noah, but God also called the cargo. God called Noah, but he also called the cargo. Noah's family got splinters and calluses. They sawed and glued and hammered and painted with pitch. They harvested and stored up huge amounts of food. The project took years. A month before the rains came, the ark is complete. The storage is being done. And I wonder if the family ever thought, everybody else has been, all this time that we've been working on this dumb boat, everybody's been out there playing baseball and going on picnics and having a wonderful time. And here we are, day after day, work on the boat, work on the boat, work on the boat. I sure hope Dad's got something in mind for all of this, because it seems like a terrible waste so far. A week before the first drop fell, God says, time to get in the boat. So Noah takes his family and all the animals come along. They get them all situated in their stalls and in their rooms. And then they wait. The first day they're in the ark, sunny and bright outside. They check the app on their phone. Sunny and bright for the next eternity. And then Tuesday comes and Thursday come by and it's getting a little stuffy in here. It sure would be nice to go outside for a little. Can't we go outside? No, God said stay in the boat. Well, why are we in the boat? One day passes after the next, no rain. Feeling just a mite foolish. But then suddenly, thunder cracks, lightning flashes. The family huddles together. One of the daughter-in-laws cries, what was that? And Noah whispers out, the judgment of God has begun. And the rain begins to fall, and the deep gives up its water, and the ark lurches, and then it pitches, and then finally it levels out, and it's raining so hard, it doesn't stop raining for over a month. Now here's what I want you to take home with you. a person can change the course of the world. One person can change the course of the whole world. A person can change the course of a family, an area, a nation, the world. You can change the course of your whole family, your neighborhood. You can leave an impact, your world. One person finding favor in God's sight can save an entire generation. Stop all this talk about, well, we just give up. Doesn't the Bible say it's going to get worse than the last times? That's not what all it says about the last days, is it? Remember Moses? God said, stand back. I'm through with them. They're dead. And Moses said, God, no, please. Just think about this, God. Just think. What will the Egyptians say when they hear about this? They'll say, you brought them out here. You couldn't deliver them. And God said, okay. Now, the time Moses stepped in front and he said, God said, Moses, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. Let's do away with it. And Moses said, if you're doing away with them, do away with me too. Moses saved his generation more than once. And then you read through the kings of Judah, how often it happened that the whole nation had gone pagan. They'd all gone rogue, and God pronounced judgment on them. It was on its way. But then there was a man by the name of Asa that came to the throne, and he cleaned up the act of the kings before him, and God brought prosperity and beauty back to the land of Judah. But then it went pagan again, and a guy named Josiah came to the throne, only 8 years old, but he brought reforms, and the kingdom again went back to God. It went back further than before, but then Hezekiah came, and he cleaned out all the garbage that had collected in the temple of God. And he brought the priesthood back together and they began to worship God. And the Lord brought good things into the land of Judah again. They went back corrupt, more corrupt than ever before with an evil guy by the name of Manasseh. But then Manasseh's grandson, 2 kings later, comes. The guy's name was Josiah. And I just read about him this morning in my private devotions. And Josiah came and he was a great, great king. God, judgment was just hanging. God was so angry at Manasseh's reign, it was ready to fall. But then this guy comes to the throne named Josiah, and he hears the word of God, and he rips his robe, and he cries out before God, and he gets the people together, and God sends a prophet and says, because you responded the way you did, the judgment will not come in your lifetime. Wow. One man, one guy. He was ready to wipe, but then I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to hear stories about, but then Tom, Dick, or Harry, you know? There was a nation there. They were under it. They were ripe for destruction, but then there was this guy or there was this gal, and she caught the heart of God. And everything changed. Now, God wrote it down so that we wouldn't be mistaken. 2 Chronicles 7, you know it by heart. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Steve Gephardt had a great prayer a couple weeks ago in our prayer room. He said, God, you didn't say how many people. You said, if my people, and you didn't say how many. So any of your people that get together, if my people who are called by, will humble themselves. God wrote it down as a law. You get serious with me, and I'll get serious with you. And he lived by that law before he wrote it down. Noah happened a long time before this was written. Moses was a long time before this was written. Now, this is a principle God was guided by before it was written in Scripture. We know this is how God acts We know this is how God responds. Get serious with God, and God will do some serious stuff in your generation. You can ignore that. You can leave it up to somebody else. Or you can dig your heels in and say, I will be part of that army. I will be part of this movement. I will get ready for what God wants to do in this day and in this age. Let it rain. Let it fall from heaven. Let it rain to revive my soul. I need your rain. I need your seas of refreshing until I thirst no more. Now, most people will not respond to a message like this beyond a hearty amen. Oh, that's good preaching, preacher. Yeah, we recognize there was a Noah. Good thing there was a Noah. We love that old Moses. Oh, those stories of Moses. Go, Mo. Go home, have our dinner, and we go off to run with the rats. But for those who hear it, for those with a Noah-like heart, grab it like a bulldog and do not let go. Do not allow days without rain to dissuade you from building your ark. Do not allow dry days to discourage your resolve. You have a promise from God. Put a roof on it and start painting with pitch. It's coming. But don't think you're going to live like all the pagans in your neighborhood and be heard by God. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, you'll get serious with God, and God will do some serious stuff in your generation. James tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person is extremely effective. Get better. Then get ready. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Pray powerful, audacious prayers. Quit looking at the nightly news and then praying. Look at God and then pray. Let Him inspire you as to what is possible in our day and age, not because of us, but because of Him. Look what He's done before. Can He do it again? Has His arm gotten short? Not at all. Our God is a mighty God. Our God is a great God. Pray powerful, audacious prayers. Make Him think. Inspire God with your prayers. When he sees somebody's believing, he gets challenged. He gets excited. He's ready to go. He has promised to pour out his spirit in the last days. Call for it. Lord, this is your word. Let him know you want to be a part of filling the ark. Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. Show me where I fit in. Show me my gifts. Give me my marching orders, Lord. Tell me what to build and I'll build it. Show me where to go and I'll go. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. I want to be a part. I want to hear those words when I get to heaven. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. This is it, my friends. Life is flying by. Oh, we can just let it go. Oh, God is all right with judgment. God is all right with wiping the dish clean. But he would so much rather find a Noah, a Moses, a Josiah, somebody audacious enough to say, God, I believe. I believe. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me this morning?